Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio, hoping, longing that you'll send us an email. We're lonely. Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. And also, as long as you are at it, sending us stuff, please send stories. Please send sermons. Please send articles. Please send stuff you think we might be interested in. Some we will, some we won't. For instance, Mike, I'm guessing that you know about a big story about a high-profile guy who has taken a moral header, correct?
A little bit.
Yeah. And we're not going to talk about it.
We're not even going to bring it up.
Well, the only reason that I'm even bringing it up, you may or may not know about it, is I can't see any value in doing so. I can't think of an angle. Maybe there is one. And it could be used to kind of gloat because of the camp that he's in. I don't know how that might encourage or help us grow, other than maybe feel a little bit smug. But at the same time, we can't, because there have been plenty of people in our camp who have had moral failures. And so in this instance, the only reason that I bring it up is maybe just to encourage all of us to practice some discretion in what we consume and what we talk about with others, what we share with others. Because recently there was an issue of another ministry that had there was somebody on the staff who had a moral failure, and it's an excellent ministry. And I thought, why am I hearing about this? That ministry handled it exquisitely. They handled it exactly correct. They did everything right. So why is it a part of the Christian conversation? I just wonder if sometimes in evangelical Christianity, we're a little bit more like Entertainment Tonight. No, that's not a contemporary reference. What's the one? It's the show they all sit around and they're all supposed to be funny.
The View?
No, that's
I guess the list is funny. Longer than I thought.
TMZ.
That's the one TMZ. Right there. Sometimes we can be a little bit too much like TMZ. When you hear about something that happened in another ministry, what happened in the good ministry and the bad ministry, honestly, it's none of my beeswax. It's just not. And I just want to be careful how much of that I consume and how much of that I spread. Now, does that ever mean you can't talk about it? No, it doesn't mean that. There can be a valid reason. There can be reasons to talk about things. But doing it must be considered. I think sometimes our filter, it's a little bit more like a chain link fence than a strainer. We should really think through long and hard. Does this thing pass muster? Is this really needed? Does a comment from me, does a post, does a blog, does the propagation of this need to really happen? Do I really need to talk about this with other people at church? Maybe, just maybe. And by the way, I have been very guilty of that. Very guilty. And I don't want to be. Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org.
All right. Becca wants to know, she said she recently became a born-again Christian.
Cool.
But unfortunately, her husband has not. She's been talking with her husband about having a third child, but now she's hesitating, wondering if she should bring another child into the world when her husband is not the spiritual leader of the home she is.
That's I got to tell you, did you say Becca or Rebecca?
Both. She signed the letter Becca, but her email is from Rebecca.
Okay, so it started out formally, and then right. we became friends, and now it's Becca. Cool.
That's right.
Becca, first of all, let me tell you, you need so much support and love from your local church. Not because you're deficient, Becca. Well, you know, we're all deficient, but you get my point. It's not because of you. It is because of your circumstance. I struggle every single time I think about what is a harder dynamic, being a single parent or being an unequally yoked parent. Go ahead, weigh that out. Which one is harder? And I think they are both demanding of the local church to come underneath those people to go, how can I help you? Because it has got to be so hard. One of the most overlooked blessings in my life is the salvation of my wife. I'm grateful for mine. I really should be thanking the Lord a lot that my wife got saved about the same time I did. Because wow, what our home could have been like. It is a combustible home when you are unequally yoked. It is so hard. There should be support systems from all of us for folks who are unequally yoked. So first thing, Becca, find that in your local church because you need some help. Second of all, you need some wisdom from saints who have walked through it. There is a way to walk through this minefield. It's very biblical. It's just not easy. And there can be many missteps, and you want to not land on as many minds as possible. So you could find some help from somebody who has walked through it. So you could approach your elders and pastors and say, hey, guess what? I'm saved. My husband isn't. Is there anybody here who's been unequally yoked who could walk alongside me? Let me tell you, that type of request does not annoy elders. Let me tell you what annoys elders. Hey, what about the air conditioning? Who's running the sound system here? That annoys elders. Coming to them saying, I need some help to get through this, that's a delight. And they should help you with that happily. Now, let's do our best here to enter in to Becca's situation without assuming and without coming up with some laws with scant information. I would encourage you to wrestle with it, Becca, biblically, all right? So here's what your question boils down to. Is it a sin to have a child with the unbeliever that you're married to? I'm running in my brain to try to find a place in the Bible that might suggest that. Now, I'm thinking maybe could 1 Corinthians 7 help me, but there's nothing there that says that. In fact, it seems to lean in an opposite direction. It tells you that if you're unequally yoked, oh, no, you cannot leave your spouse. Oh, no, you don't. You're genuinely married. Now, I'm also thinking about 1 Peter. I'm in chapters 2 and 3, with husbands and wives, that you are to live in such a way with an unbeliever. I think that's what the dynamic is. You're living with an unbeliever that they might be one. This takes us back, by the way, to 1 Peter. Do you remember the quiz that I gave to you a few days ago?
So that.
All right, guys, did you take me up on the test?
What test?
Well, working through 1 Peter.
See, he didn't even pay attention in class.
Okay, here was the setup. 1 Peter is about one subject, persecution.
Right.
That's the subject. So I need to remember every verse I read that needs to be floating out there, kind of hovering above everything, because that's what the point of the book is. And he has a bunch of henna clauses. So that, act like this, so that. Do this so that. Now, in your translation, it might say that. It might say in order to. It might not even be there based on how loose your translation is. But it is so that. Did you notice? It was wives, act like this so that. Husbands, act like this so that. Yes. Act like this underneath the government. Act like this in the church. So that what? Gentlemen, did you discover it?
I did not.
Jimmy?
What?
So that people will ask you about the hope that lies within you. That's the point of persecution, that the gospel would grow and go, because people are going to shellac you. You're going to be in a difficult dynamic, and you're going to act differently so that they will get saved too. Check it out for yourself.
You're going through persecution and somebody asks, how do you maintain so much joy?
So that the gospel can go forward. How come you don't retaliate? How come you're not angry? Haven't we heard those stories from gulags that the guard gets saved because of the prisoner's behavior? Because they endure as their feet are getting beat with a rod? That is the purpose of all of these things, so that the gospel can go forward. And boing, shouldn't it be? Because isn't that what the universe is about? The gospel going forward? Isn't that what the Bible is about? The gospel going forward. So the Bible tells a wife, live in such a way that your husband can be won without saying a word. So, Becca, I can't tell you what to do regarding this issue, but unless you can find a verse that says it's a sin to have a baby with your unbelieving spouse, then it's not a sin. And I would suggest this. I think that there are pointers that you just continue being an amazing Christian wife, being married, honoring your husband, living together peaceably, raising your kids, and making decisions. But if you can't find a verse that says it's a sin, then maybe, just maybe, the Bible points it in a different direction for you. Pray for Becca. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt many of your kitchen table conversations have involved health insurance. Mrs. Friel and I used to talk about it a lot, but not since we joined MediShare. Biblical health sharing. Over 400,000 Christians sharing each other's medical expenses so far, to the tune of $4 billion. You can be confident they can handle your medical bills too. An average family through MediShare will save approximately $500 per month, and you'll be able to sleep at night. And right now, they're waiving their application fee during the month of November, which just might be open enrollment time for you. Please, maybe it's time for you to reconsider how you protect yourself and family. To learn more about MediShare, visit MediShare.com/wretched, MediShare.com/wretched, or call, they're nice folks, 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
It's another day and another episode of Wretched Radio. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And listen, Road Trip to Truth, it's finally here. That's right, Road Trip to Truth is hosted by Millennial John Ferbarez, the son of Mike Ferbarez, and these episodes tackle tough issues that millennials struggle with. Subjects like, why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What about the supposed errors in the Bible? Is there really only one way to heaven? And many, many more. You know, the third leading cause of death among millennials is suicide. They're depressed, they're anxious, suicidal, and lost. And Road Trip to Truth is here to help you understand how to witness to this generation. Together, we can reach more and more people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Road Trip to Truth, just one more reason to support Wretched. Visit wretched.org/donate today, or text Wretched to 44321. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means the Lord comforts, brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh.
Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah, I know what somebody's thinking. This is Wretched Radio. Was he saying that we can never make a decision about when we're going to have kids based on what he said to Becca? Nope, that's not what I said. I think a husband and wife, they make those decisions. Can they be sinful about the timing of children or whether or not to have children? Absolutely. Do I believe that they have to be? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So you make those decisions together as husband and wife. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org.
All right. Miss Margarita says she was a stay-at-home mom for quite some time, but then her husband came down, was diagnosed with Parkinson's. So then she had to go get a job and work for her family. And she just has a question. Am I rebelling against God by working, since it seems that the Bible would say women should be at home?
This points to the brilliance of the Bible. Scruples. We have scruples. It's really connected to our conscience about how well informed it is. Here's a tricky thing that we need to watch for. And I'm not talking to Miss Marguerite at the moment. I'm talking to all of us, about all of us. We want to be scrupulous, but we can develop a scrupulosity that is actually unbiblical, that God provides for us never a space where we can sin, ever. That's not a space. But we need to remember that laws are made for man and man is not made for laws. And this can be with false converts, an absolutely dangerous teaching. It is not for a true convert. God has rules for us, things that we are to do. And sometimes we can't do them. And some people who are very scrupulous think that they are sinning. Let me give you a case in point. Is a prisoner right now in China, a Christian in China, and there's more every day, is that person sinning because they are not passing out gospel tracts to everyone in the prison and everybody in their city? Is that person sinning?
No.
Why? You're supposed, hey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Great Commission.
Yes.
And see, here's where your scruples come in. You decide, I want to be passing out gospel tracts. It's on my heart to do that. This is how I want to participate. And then you get locked up in a jail cell and you can't do it. Are you sinning? And the answer is no, you're not sinning. But there's something inside of you and it's your scruples. But I want to be doing that. And that is good. And God is very pleased with that. At the same time, God understands circumstances, which means we need to figure out, is what I am desiring to do not a sin or a sin? So now we've got to figure out, is the issue that I'm contemplating, the decision that I'm making, is it a sin? Because here's the tricky thing. Sometimes it's not when it feels like it is. You will not abuse this if you're a genuine believer. You will if you are a false convert. You're going to click your heels and go, whoop-de-doo, off to the sin market I go. I have just been given liberty. No, this is talking about gray areas. These are the middle things. These are things that sometimes when our consciences aren't correctly matured, informed, educated, with experience, we can be too scrupulous and we can find ourselves feeling really rotten because we're not doing something that God doesn't actually expect you to do. Now that gets pretty tricky, doesn't it? So let's go back to our evangelism situation in China. There sits the Christian in a cell. They want to pass out gospel tracts, but first of all, they don't have any. Are they sinning? Of course they're not. They can't get to their town. They're locked up behind bars for being a Christian. But I feel right. Okay. So I would simply suggest then aim it in a different direction. Aim it toward, then how can I evangelize where I'm at? Now, here's the tricky part. How many people is that? How many fellow cell members do you have to do that with? Huh? Huh? And God allows you to work through those things without putting numbers on them for you. Let's return now to the lady who is married, and she now has to work because her husband, was it Parkinson's,
Parkinson's disease.
I'm sorry. Okay. I don't know about the kid situation. Can a woman work? Can a woman work?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a sin for a woman to work? Well, maybe. It could be. Because if you believe that a mother's primary honor and responsibility is raising up those little ones, then yeah, it sure could be. But does it have to be? Not necessarily. Furthermore, you've got different cultures and you've got different situations. You know, back when the Bible was written, everybody worked. Everybody. You worked to survive. Now, it happened to be everybody was working at home because you worked within 100 yards of where you dwelt. That used to be our culture. But everybody was working. But the principle here for women to consider is that primarily my honor and responsibility is to raise up these little ones. I keep that in view. Now, how little is little? How old are they? Are they going to school? Oh, wait, they're gone 8 hours a day. Oh, so that means she just sits at home and makes banana bread with cinnamon on it, with Irish butter. I'm not telling you I'm hungry or anything.
And that sounds so good.
But it sure does, doesn't it? My one weakness. So when is that? And the answer is it's kind of, there's moving parts to it.
Yeah, because what I'm thinking about right now, too, is also single mothers that have to
of
care for
course,
their kids.
Of course, there's another situation. Now, here's the answer to that. The church should be taking care of them. That's what I think should be happening.
Oh,
here's
yeah.
the reality.
100% agree.
It doesn't happen. But so here we are. So there the woman is with her conscience going, I don't want to be leaving the kids. We got to eat. And maybe she's on the other side going, and then there's welfare. I don't want to do that because I've always said, you know, the bloating of this, you don't work, you don't eat. So all of a sudden your scruples are spinning and raging. How do you guide yourself through these choppy waters? And they are challenging. And the answer to that is, am I loving Jesus through this? Am I trying to honor Jesus through this? And there are times you're going to be wrong with it. Your heart might be deceitful on it. But if your goal in life is, look, I want to make a decision. I want to love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord the best way I can. Now make decisions. And unless it's something that the Bible puts a finger on and goes, hey, that's a sin. Okay, so you're coveting something. Okay, that's a sin. Stop that. You're lusting. Stop it. Sin. Okay, but we're not talking about those types of things. We're talking about life issues. Story from the Bible that is instructive. Jesus goes about the business of healing people on the Sabbath. Constant battle. The Pharisees tag him on it based on their rules. And Jesus says, hold on a second. Let me just ask you a question. A donkey falls into a well, into a ditch. It's the Sabbath. What are you going to do? We pull the donkey out. And you're breaking your own rule right there. And you should, because the Sabbath is made for people, not people for the Sabbath. In other words, there are times and situations when your heart desires to do something, but circumstances just don't permit it. You're pregnant and you're driving to church because you don't want to forsake the assembling of the saints. Correct, you are. Your water breaks. You better go to church or you'll be sinning. No, you go to the hospital to deliver your baby. And I don't think anybody would go, whoa, she was sinning. It's just life and circumstances that alter things. And if the decision that is being made in these gray areas doesn't help the human, then it's not something that you need to be concerned about. And you can actually then go about doing it joyfully. Now, Marguerite, is it Marguerite or Margarita?
Margarita.
Margarita. Is that the end game? No, you can work toward that not being the scenario. I don't know how old your kids are, so I'm kind of at a disadvantage here. That's a big component of this conversation that's missing, I'm afraid. Nevertheless, you can work toward a different end. But as you do, I don't think that you should feel this weight of guilt. Sir, you are an over-the-road, you're a long-haul truck driver, and you're gone 7 Sundays out of 8. If I were counseling you, I'd say, bro, I think you need to get that changed. I think you need to get that figured out and make plans to do that. Okay, and you go, you know what? You're right. I'm forsaking the assembling. I'm not leading my family spiritually. I need to change that. Is he sinning until he does? I don't think that God is like, oh, wow, you're living in sin. He needs to change it. The repentance has happened, and it can take some time to fix it. And as long as the effort and the heart and the desire is there to love the Lord and honor Jesus, as you go about doing it, you don't have to feel trashed and guilty. So, Margarita, balance all of these things. Figure these things out. Talk through them with your elders at your church, because I don't have a lot of information here. And it might be that you need to make some changes. Might be that you're sinning, but it might mean that you're not, and you shouldn't feel an additional burden beyond what you already have. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Republic of Malawi, a landlocked country in southeastern Africa, is planning to open a new embassy in Jerusalem. Malawi Foreign Minister Eisenhower Makaka made the announcement on Tuesday while visiting Israel, signaling the country intends to open a fully-fledged embassy in Jerusalem. Benjamin Netanyahu, in a statement about the embassy, offered high hopes of sharing key resources with the country, especially in areas of cybersecurity, agriculture, health, and, quote, every area that lends itself to cooperation. The initial meeting happened in Jerusalem during Makaka's first visit, when he noted that he plans to open a diplomatic office in August until the fully-fledged embassy is built. In a joint statement with the two countries, the nation's leaders both expressed optimism over the agreement. Prime Minister Netanyahu also openly welcomed both the Malawi diplomat and the opportunity, stating that, quote, this is a great day because of your decision to move your embassy to Jerusalem, which is our eternal capital from the time of King David. We welcome you as a friend. We welcome Malawi as a friend. We've always had excellent relations, and they're going to be even better, end quote. Malawi, unlike many other nations in Africa, is a majority Christian nation with an evangelical president. The president, Lazarus Chakwera, has stated that the country will undergo a whole host of reforms now that he's in office, which he first took in July. Guatemala has decided to reverse an earlier decision to allow Planned Parenthood to operate in their country, repealing an earlier agreement made in October. Guatemalan President Alejandro Guillametti announced the repeal of the agreement this week, explaining in a statement that he opposed the organization's abortion stance. Guatemala's Interior Minister, Olivero Garcia Rodas, who initially approved the agreement with Planned Parenthood last month, officially resigned in response to the issue. Under Guatemalan law, the abortion procedure is illegal, except in the event of life-threatening medical emergencies for women. According to its website, Planned Parenthood currently partners with organizations within Guatemala to help provide healthcare services and information. Also this week, Planned Parenthood opted to drop a lawsuit against Arizona over various state regulations on the abortion procedure. Planned Parenthood of Arizona filed without explanation a joint stipulation for voluntary dismissal without prejudice in federal court on Tuesday. As a result, Arizona will be able to enforce rules that mandate a 24-hour waiting period and bar abortionists from doing telemedicine abortions, among others. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. Henry VIII's act of supremacy makes the king, not the pope, head of the Church of England. While Henry's concerns were largely political, his archbishop, Thomas Cranmer, worked to mold the Anglican Church into a thoroughly Protestant church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yep. Yep, I am. This is Wretched Radio. Oh, boy.
What
if
are you?
You happen to be scared. You're worried about the future, specifically regarding medical care and insurance. Might I encourage you to check out MediShare? Now, why don't I feel rotten about that? Because I really am actually genuinely excited for you to check out MediShare. I'm not suggesting that program is best for you, but there's a really good chance it is. And if you're looking at the medical health insurance business right now and the programs and the fees and the expenses and the coverage and lack thereof, and maybe you are looking for an alternative, I'm just telling you, you really need to check out MediShare. MediShare.com/wretched. MediShare.com/wretched. And learn about this option. It might be a major blessing for your family. On average, you save $500 a month. Don't know about you, but that's a lot of money in my world. And it might be in yours too. And I think right now in November, because this is typically when people do their
open enrollment
stuff right now. There's not even a fee to join. Seriously, check it out. Dive in. Learn about it. Right, just go to their website, MediShare, MediShare.com/wretched, and start to learn about this potential option for you and your family. You might be absolutely thrilled. And that's why I don't feel bad about using the uncertainty of the election to tell you that. Because I would tell you that even if you love the election results. This is Wretched Radio. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org.
I have a question. It comes from Peter. Do what?
I thought it was you.
Oh, no. Peter has a question.
Like, dude, we can talk anytime around here. I don't have to do this now.
Hello, you wretch. That's how he starts it. He says, I'm attending a local Baptist church, and I'm considering joining in the future. The pastor's theology so far has been sound from what I've seen. But, there's always a but.
Everybody's got one of those.
That's right. The Bible study that I've been attending is, and the only one that the church has, is led by a woman over a mixed audience. It's the only Bible study that they offer. Should I make this a make-or-break issue in regards to joining the church?
Not based on that. Not based on the face of it. No. Before making that decision, you absolutely, positively have to lovingly and respectfully sit down with the pastor. You've got to figure this one out. And the only way that you can make a correct decision is by asking. This is an area where a lot of us struggle. I mean, this is a big struggle. A number of years ago, I was listening to Jordan Peterson, and I remember he said something really, like, seriously? He's a psychologist. He teaches psych up at the University of Toronto. I don't even know if he's healthy at the moment or not. I don't know what his status is right now. He's not a believer. He's Jungian to the core. And he was talking about most of his training, most of his counseling with people. Do you want to know what the issue was? Assertiveness training. And mostly women, not exclusively, but mostly women, teaching women how to be assertive in the workplace. And if that is any sort of barometer indication, you and I struggle with the secular word, let's use assertive, but there's a biblical way of looking at this. See, assertive makes it look like, all right, I am going to beef up my muscles, sharpen my tongue, and I'm going to enter into the arena, and I'm going to get a raise. I'm not going to be mistreated here anymore. All right, that's the way the world does it. And that's not fun, is it? But the Christian heart, if it is motivated by love, if it is thoroughly filled with a desire to see Jesus glorified, then going to a like-minded brother or sister with an issue should just not be an issue. And if that pastor is a believer, and if that pastor is sound, and if you lovingly bring it to your pastor and say, brother, I am thinking about joining here. I love what you're doing. You're pointed in the right direction. I do have a concern that maybe you could help me with. Can you explain to me why a woman would be teaching a mixed group on Sunday morning? All right. And there's, by the way, there are actually some believers. I would disagree with that role, but there are some believers who would believe that, and it doesn't make them a heretic. The challenge that you've got that you need to figure out is, what is that? What is the direction of that? What is the implication of that? Where could that grow and go? Is the next step a woman then preaching on Sunday morning? Because that's not far from it. So you just need to sit down and talk, and just an encouragement, even if it is not received well, and you're one of those individuals who struggles with assertiveness, think Christianly. We are to sharpen one another. We are to help one another. And maybe this thought, that is exactly what the church is for. That's why you need to be a member of a local church. You join that thing if it's sound, and you can help in areas that have deficiencies. That's why we need you in a local church, and you need other people. So don't be assertive, be biblical, be Christ-like, sit down and talk to them. You'll have clarity, and that's the only way to get it. Idea at wretched.org.
Here we go from an anonymous writer asking about, in a small church under 300 members, do the pastors have any responsibility to get to know the members, or is it up to the members to get to know the pastor?
Absolutely.
Both
Next
and.
Email, please. Yeah. Now, here's, just for a moment, try to understand your pastor's world for a moment. Here, I would say this. If you're in a church, and let's just say, I'm just kind of picking a somewhat arbitrary number, 50. There's 50 people. I think you should know your pastor really well. And your pastor, you should be hearing from him pretty regularly. How big's your church? Huh? Do you have 100? Ooh. Is he supposed to be in touch with everybody? It's 200 people. 200, by the way, I think is about the average size of an average church in America today. In my estimation, that is four times larger than any man can handle. And by the way, 50 sheep, that's like full.
That's a lot.
That dance card, it ain't got no room for nothing. And he might not even be able to prepare his sermon. If he is diving in and he's trying to really be involved in people's lives, whoa, that's huge. So should you be hearing from him? Well, it depends on the size of the church. It depends on the season. It depends on what they're going through. It depends on the issues. Now, if you see an area in your pastor's life where he happens to be just standoffish, I think there's something wrong with a shepherd who doesn't want to smell like the sheep. I think there's something wrong with a pastor who doesn't like to engage and hang out and chat, who doesn't like standing around after church and being with people, who won't shake hands with folks. Now, I wouldn't make that a perfect law, but I think that that's a pretty good sign that the pastor is what? He's deficient in an area. He's not a heretic. He's not malicious. Maybe his personality, maybe it's an area he's growing in. He's not even aware of it, and it needs to be brought to his attention. Then you can bring those things to his attention lovingly in an effort to help him, not because he's being an evil, wicked guy. So before you go about the business of leaving a church because your pastor isn't involved enough in your life, don't do that too fast. That's hard. And now, could it be even, none of the elders are involved in my life? Here's what we tend to do. And you know what? I feel it. You huff and you puff and you maybe leave. Nobody even calls. I have never received a text from my shepherding elder. I am out of here. I got to tell you what that is. Oh, is that pride? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's pride. Or if you've said things like, oh, they don't know anything that's going on in my life. Okay. You can call them. It goes two ways here, this street. It goes both ways. Don't take an exit ramp because it is not feeling like he's spending any time with me. Be careful before you make that call. Idea at wretched.org. Oh, just go, Jimmy.
We don't have time.
I see the... You want... Now, you're wasting 7 seconds. Go!
Okay,
go,
all right.
Go.
Is the doctrine of hell an essential tenet of the faith?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Next question, Mike. Go! Go! Go!
Can Christians cast out demons?
Yes, by preaching the gospel, God saves them and the demon flees. Next, go.
We're speed rounding this.
Okay, is believing in penal substitutionary atonement essential to being saved?
Of course it is. What? Go, go.
All right, given our current state in the election, how do you respond if federally funded taxpayer abortion becomes legal?
It's really, really hard. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, period. Pay your taxes.
Wow.
Okay. Jimmy. Man.
We can get through a whole stack. We keep going like this.
Yeah. Let's keep up here, bro.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm falling behind
now.
We
don't have enough time.
I don't know what to ask you. I'm asking you all my questions.
Here we go. Will people who are remarried spend eternity in hell for adultery?
Wait, what?
There you go. There's 30 seconds left. We can ask that on the...
Wait. Will people what?
Will people who are remarried spend eternity in hell if it's for adultery?
What kind of... Okay, wait a second. I'm reading through my Bible about unforgivable sins, and I don't see that as one of them. Does that demand a little bit more clarity? Okay, Jimmy, fine. That one does, so we will next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, let's play a game called Would You Rather? And I'll go first. Would you rather watch Wretched TV or get eaten by sharks? That's exactly what I thought. After you finish taking a swim and saying hello to Jaws, head on over to Wretched.org/TV to watch our full-length 30-minute Wretched TV program hosted by our very own freakishly tall host, Todd Vriel. While watching Wretched TV, you'll learn about topics ranging from social justice to false conversion to abortion all the way to the subject of pneumatology. Wretched TV is perfect for anyone wanting to dive deep into their faith and also get a few laughs along the way. There's something for everyone and every age. The whole family is guaranteed to enjoy it. You can find us on Amazon Fire Stick, Truly, Amazon Prime, Roku, and by simply visiting wretched.org/TV. So grab some popcorn, find a comfy spot on the couch, and tune in for some Wretched TV. Visit wretched.org/TV. That's wretched.org/TV.
Alicia's a full-time nurse. On the weekend, she was running a pregnancy clinic in the highest abortion neighborhood in the United States, Queens, New York. More babies killed than there are born in this place. And she was raising the money on her own, and it's only open one day a week.
We could change that. There could be a pro-life center open 7 days a week, providing free ultrasounds for women by supporting preborn.org/wretched.
Preborn is very intentional and deliberate in providing free, loving, gospel-centered alternatives and ultrasounds to these young women in New York City. We're on it, man. It's not easy, and it's probably going to get a lot harder, I think.
Please join preborn.org/wretched in their effort to save babies and to save mommies through the gospel and stop this cycle. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org/wretched? preborn.org/wretched.
It's here! It's here! Road Trip to Truth is finally here! We know you've been waiting patiently, but it is finally here! Join host John Ferbarez on his journey to find answers on the topics of evolution, depression, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of God, and of course, truth itself. Not only can you purchase the 13 full-length episode show, you can also purchase the Bible study course, perfect for middle schoolers through adults. Don't believe us? Maybe you'll take Tim Challey's word for it. He says, quote, "For too long, too much of the material prepared for young folk has been insultingly shallow and embarrassingly trite. What makes it even worse is that many young people are crying out for solid content while their youth leaders serve them nonsense. I'm thankful that Road Trip to Truth unashamedly and effectively deals with real, meaty, life-changing truths of the Christian faith." So visit roadtriptotruth.org and get your copies. That's roadtriptotruth.org.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy word to humanity, through which he makes himself known and continues to draw us to himself. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is it possible that you're causing your pastor to want to become IT support? This is Wretched Radio. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. Mike, you had one that requires and demands a wee bit more explanation about adultery, fornication, remarriage. But sure. Before we get to that, the pastor who is criticized because he doesn't spend enough time with everybody. My encouragement is slow down, please. You don't know a fraction of the man's day. You don't know. Maybe you think this dude is so lazy. If he just hustled a little bit more, he could spend time with me. Got to examine your own motivation and heart in that. Why do you need his time or demand his time more than, say, 200 other people? But beyond that, maybe just consider, maybe he has been derelict in calling you. It is entirely possible. Just think about what the man does all day. There is stuff that walks into his office I can't even repeat on radio because you would go, that is inappropriate conversation. What am I talking about? There are some people who in life, through various circumstances, sometimes by choice, other times by force, they have been involved in things that would make your head spin multiple rotations. And that falls into your pastor's office. And he deals with that all day. And he's preparing the sermon. And he's working on budgets. And the giving is down. And they need him in Sunday school. And decisions need to be made about the carpet. And he needs to deal with the vendor. Oh, the administrative secretary just left. That's what the guy's doing all day. And you and I can help him or make him want to be IT support. From Dan Phillips. Ways in which doing IT support is better than being a pastor. Everyone who asks you a question really wants to hear the answer when you're in IT, not when you're a pastor. How many times has your pastor been asked a question, maybe even by you, you did not want the answer. You had maybe a different agenda, and he maybe gave the answer, and you went, don't like the answer, so I'm not taking it. We listen to the IT guy. Hey, you need to reboot your computer more often. Okay. I don't want to lose my computer. You need to stop looking at pornography. You know, Pastor, you know, I work real hard. How do you think that man endures day after day? Everyone who asks you for help really wants to be helped when you're in IT. You and your callers agree that computer bugs are problems. They're bad and should be done away with. But sin, not so much with the pastor. When you identify viruses, spyware, unwanted pop-ups, and crashes as bad and target them for elimination, the folks that you help don't accuse you of being harsh and judgmental. Oh, how many times does your poor pastor get that? He knows there's a sin. He's carefully examined it, and he's come to the conclusion, now's the time to confront it and say, brother, I'm really concerned. We need to get a handle on this. We're looking at church discipline here. We've talked about this. We've worked through this. There's been times. There's been books. There's been prayers. There have been programs and accountability. Brother, you got to get this under control. Don't be you so judgmental. It's the pastor. Never happens to an IT guy. Ever. Happens to your pastor all day. Nobody who calls you is actually in love with the computer problems and misbehaviors they're experiencing. Not so with your pastor. This is his world. Everyone to whom you give sensible counsel will hear, heed, remember, and follow that counsel. They won't insist on feeling an inner peace before doing it. Yeah, you know, Pastor, you know, maybe you're right about the porn, but I don't know, man. I don't have peace about this. What do you mean I should treat my wife better? You don't know her, and I'll just pray for peace, Pastor. The IT guy never hears that. Your pastor does. Do we need more from the list? I got 26 of them.
Quite a few.
Idea@wretched.org.
I need some clarification, though.
Yeah.
So most people...
You're being sarcastic. I can just feel it coming.
But I want to know why most people don't want to hear to quit watching porn from their pastor, but it's okay from the IT guy when he tells them, hey, stop watching porn.
Yeah, well, because you could get busted and lose your job.
Yeah.
And I'll turn you in. Because that's even against company policy. Your pastor's not a perfect man. Just take a look at his life. Is he trying? Cut him some slack. Offer some grace. I promise you, I am so certain of... Okay, you know what? I'm thinking about this for myself. Ask yourself this question. How much grace has your pastor afforded you? Serious. Just hold on a second. I'm going, wait a second. I don't even realize how annoying I am. I don't realize how deficient I am. And he's in me with meetings or doing things together. And he sees it. and he does not about me or to me. How much does he offer me? How much do I offer him in return? Just asking. Idea@wretched.org. Okay, what was the deal with the thing and the adultery and going to hell?
Well, now that I got a little bit more time to clarify with some more details. This is from Brandon. His question is, will people who are remarried spend eternity in hell for adultery? Now, both of their spouses are still living. And so he also wants to know, in order to repent for this marriage that they're currently in from an adultery, do the remarried couple have to divorce?
Okay. Right. Okay. So this is very similar. At least it has some analogous things to the missionary who goes to Boingo Boingo. The tribal chief has 18 wives, gets saved. What does he do now? How does that work out? I think that one actually is kind of clean and simple. I would say that his first wife would be his wife, and the other 17 now, no more sinning with them, and providing for them as if they are his wife would be a good start. Now, we need to be so careful with these things. Any time a divorce question is asked, it's always, always dicey, which is why my real answer is, please work through this with your elders. There are so many different angles to this. So as I even make any comments at all, don't run with this in your individual life and go, I heard what I'm looking for, and pfft, off you go. No, I'm just going to offer a couple of thoughts on this. Were you saved? Were you not saved? Is that person remarried? Is there any chance for reconciliation? All of these things are just swirling around in this conversation. So I'm just gonna suggest, regarding all of those things, you must work through the details with your elders. And by the way, your big mess that you've made, when you bring this into your pastor's office, he's going to care deeply and profoundly about it. He's going to be praying for you when you are not even aware of it. And he is going to be caring so much for your best. And he is going to labor in prayer and studying the word to figure out your situation. When he says something to you, then please listen. Don't make him want to be the IT guy. So let me just answer your question about people going to hell. It really comes down to the unforgivable sin. This is not an opportunity to use sin for licentiousness. But let's say that you got sinfully divorced and you got sinfully remarried, and now there's no chance for reconciliation. You'd have to get a divorce to get remarried, and you make the decision to just stay married. Now, by the way, are there kids involved? There's another complication in all of this, which is why it's best directed to your elders. But let's just say that you even make the wrong decision. You're not trying to be sinning, but you have. But lo and behold, you are. Are you going to go to hell? No, you're not going to go to hell. Again, affording grace is not dangerous to those who are Christians. To those who are pagans, they're going to abuse it. They'll become hyper-gracey. Real Christian won't. Do you know how many sins that I've got going on in my life right now that I am not repenting of? And the answer is, I don't know either, but I know they're in there, and I know they're probably numerous. Am I going to hell? No. Why? Because I don't want to be doing those things. I'm not aware of those things. I'm not persisting. And maybe even the circumstances kind of have you slotted into this rather unusual situation. You're trying to honor the Lord the best that you can. You must find the Bible verse that says that would be the unforgivable sin. It might be that you did sin. Are you forgiven for that sin? Are you forgiven? Hey, are you forgiven? Well, then I guess you're not going to hell, are you? Because God's grace is that expansive. It is not to be abused. It is not to be used as a license for licentiousness. But in sometimes tricky situations, difficult things like this, where an answer maybe isn't clear, frankly, to anybody, if your heart's desire is to not be sinning and it seems best to you, then make sure that you haven't missed anything, and know that your God, even if you are sinning, has already forgiven you. And you can then still walk in joy. Don't let your conscience harangue you in those situations. remember God's goodness. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.